Reading is from Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 34. Paul and Silas in prison. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned round and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. He and his whole family. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks.
A moment. Lord, we thank you for that incredible story of your people living in such a way that even the most hardened jailer saw something of you in their lives, saw your rest discovered in the midst of the most terrible circumstances, lived out. And we pray, Father, that as we seek to go deeper into your word and the significance of it for today, we may discover those things that lead to life. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Well, my wife, Sian, and I were having a sort of an ironic moment this morning as we were thinking about today's theme, resting, and listening on the radio to the things about International Women's Day, and thinking how what a day to be preaching about rest. And it's women who are nearly always the ones whose head are all over the place with so many hats on, trying to do so much stuff around the place. And I pay tribute to every woman who's been working so hard today and wrestling and rushing to get here ready for worship this morning. But the kind of rest that we're thinking about today and the kind of rest that the Bible speaks of isn't really rest in the physical sense. It's not so much about just the sort of stillness and quietness and freedom from all the busyness of life. Because in the Psalms, which are full of references to rest, we find these words above all others in Psalm 62, verse 1. The psalmist says, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him." My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. Now listen to the words that Jesus spoke in Matthew 11, verse 28. And when He said, "Come to Me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." What does that say to us? Well, firstly, it says about Jesus that He was putting Himself as equal to God, in that we are familiar, and He would have been familiar with the words, "My soul finds rest in God alone." So He's saying, if you come to Me, you will find rest. And secondly, we recognize that in coming to Christ, we are not going to be in a life that is full of sleep or relaxation or just chilling out all the time. Because if anyone comes to Christ, they are in for the most wonderful adventure and a life that is full of doing things that will transform the world. He is not saying, "Come to Me and sleep." But He is saying, "Come to Me and you will find rest." So the first and perhaps most important thing that these teachings tell us is that God and God alone and God in Christ is the place where we find rest for our souls. Inner peace, shalom, a place where we can work from. Often we talk about resting from work, but the biblical understanding and the Sabbath principle is that we work from rest. And we work hard. And we strive with all the energy that God gives us, but we do it from a place of peace. It's a place where we recognize that my to-do list isn't the big thing. It's God's to-do list that really matters. And so we don't need to go through our diary and say, "Oh, I've got all these things, I've got terrible amount. How am I going to do all these things that I've got to do on my to-do list?" Stress, anxiety, ugh. But rather we're asking, maybe at the beginning of the week on a Sunday, "Lord, what are the things You would have me do in this week ahead? What is Your agenda for my life?" And in order to find that place of rest, the priority is that we come to Christ, that we gather on a Sunday for worship, which is the most important activity that we can ever do as people. That is why the Sabbath principle makes space for worship as its priority. Giving ourselves and the best to God, giving all that we have, all that we are, as that which is an expression of our worship. Worship becomes that place of coming to Christ, being fed by him, being forgiven by him, and enabling him to give us the rest from which we can work. And that is what another verse from the Bible, which is often quoted in this context, verse in Psalm 46, is all about. Be still and know that I am God. Maybe after what I've just said, that becomes a little bit more clear in its context. Now, I've heard this sermon many times before. I've been preaching it to myself all week. And the fact is that I've begun to see the Bible in new ways. And this verse is one of them. Be still and know that I am God. Because if we know and are in that place of connection and appreciation of who God is and how great he is, then we can find a place from which to live a good life. A life that isn't distracted and full of anxiety. I'm quoting now from a person who is the director of a wonderful movement. It's called the Passion Movement, and he runs the Passion City Church. I think I'd like to be part of a Passion City Church, but his name is Louis Giglio, and he's the director of that movement and a visionary architect. And this is what he says. I found this on the internet. You can look it up. The word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew Shabbat, which means to cease. From this word, we get the phrase, be still. But cease from what? Cease striving, as one translation puts it, and agree with God that he is God and we are not. And that to me is central to what the Sabbath is about, recognizing how great God is. And that's why I've called this sermon Getting God in Perspective, because it is so crucial if we are going to find a life that is full of rest and work and play, that we find the right perspective in which to see God. And let me quote from this Mark Buchanan's book, The Rest of God, where he tells a wonderful account, quoting from the sequel to Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis, Prince Caspian, where I'm sure you're familiar with the story. Lucy in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe is a tiny little girl. By this time, she's grown up quite a lot. And she's going off one night into the forest and hears a voice calling her. While the other children are asleep, she ventures forth through the woods into a clearing. And here's what happens. A circle of grass, smooth as a lawn, met her eyes, with dark trees dancing all around it. And then, oh joy! For he was there, the huge lion shining white in the moonlight with its huge black shadow underneath him. But for the movement of his tail, he might have been a stone lion, but Lucy never thought of that. She never stopped to think whether he was a friendly lion or not. She rushed to him. She felt her heart would burst if she lost a moment. And the next thing she knew was that she was kissing him and putting her arms as far round his neck as she could and burying her face in the beautiful, rich silkiness of his mane. Aslan, Aslan, dear Aslan, sobbed Lucy, at last. And the great beast rolled over on his side so that Lucy fell, half sitting, half lying between his front paws. He bent forward and just touched her nose with his tongue. His warm breath came all around her, and she gazed up into his large, wise face. Welcome, child, he said. Aslan, said Lucy, you're bigger. That's because you are older, little one, answered he. Not because you are. I am not. But every year you grow, you will find me bigger. I'm wondering if that rings a bell for you as you get older and as you move towards senior years, or maybe you're in that place already. Your experience of God is that he has become for you more forgiving. He's come for you more loving, more patient. That he has become for you more mysterious. So there's a lot more unanswered questions about God than you had when you were a teenager who knew it all pretty much. Whether God has become greater in his faithfulness toward you and in his capacity to understand. The challenge for learning to rest and finding rest in Christ is very much about learning to see God in his proper perspective. And let me close by just highlighting one way that that can happen that Mark Buchanan in this book gives us a very clear guide toward. And the way that we can get God in perspective, so that God becomes great and big in our minds and our little problems get smaller and smaller, not less significant, but less dominating of our anxiety, our minds, our bodies. As we recognize how great God is, we will find that rest becoming more and more our experience. But Mark Buchanan highlights the story of Paul and Silas in that prison in Philippi. Not moaning and groaning, but singing and praising God. And he says that the key way in which, as we practice it, we find a greater perspective of who God is and therefore more rest for our souls is the practice of thankfulness, the practice of praise, the practice and habit of worship. And therefore, we read that when that earthquake came and the prison chains became loose, Mark Buchanan says the miracle wasn't there. The miracle was in the fact that these prisoners stayed there and were still worshipping the God who was with them. The miracle was in the fact that instead of getting incredibly stressed and frustrated and cursing what was happening to them, they were able to exhibit a quality of life that the jailer could see was something that he deeply, deeply wanted. And so his first question to these people was, how can I be saved? How can I be saved from a life that is all in turmoil and anxiety and it seems meaningless to me? How can I have that rest that is characterizing you guys? How can I know the God who makes you who you are? And so he was saved from killing himself, and he was saved for living with God in that place of worship. He and his whole household, therefore, were baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus had commanded his disciples to do, and brought into that fellowship that enabled them to share that life to its fullness. And it may be that as we move forward from here on this Sabbath day, as we practice the discipline of thankfulness in all that we're about and all that we see, as we allow ourselves to be still enough to notice what God is doing in our busy lives, we will find that saying of Jesus to be our experience too. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May our prayer be, find rest, my soul, in God alone, for my salvation comes from him. Amen.